Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America.
Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Hello? Are we here? Are we here? Yes, we are. Testing, ladies and gentlemen. We are. All right. Hey, I'm back. Rick Adams. Just had to take a quick exit, and the minute break that we had, hour number two now. I believe that we just have Frank White now. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And okay. If I could make a comment?
You certainly may, Frank. Go ahead.
Thank you.
No problem.
Regarding Professor Mathis's example of if he shot a black person, the definition of genocide makes it clear that you have to try to destroy a group in whole or part. I don't believe an individual black man would constitute a group.
No, I understand.
No.
That was an improper analogy, but
yeah.
I understand. I mean, he's in a very tenuous position, and I really and truly, for sake of brevity, did not do what maybe I should have done, and that was to start off by asking each of you where you're coming from, and that is that, for instance, what is his interest? What is Mathis's interest in this whole subject, being a teacher of English and humanities at Villanova? Why? What possesses him to be so fascinated in this interest, this subject? And I would give you the chance, Andrew, to explain yourself, to tell our listeners why. Why have you devoted time to study this subject in detail, and where you're coming from? What are your positions? What are your proclivities, if you will? Okay.
Yep.
Go right ahead now. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Andrew.
I'm talking to you, Frank. Frank.
Oh, me. I'm sorry. I thought maybe Andrew was still there.
No. I may have said Andrew by mistake, but I meant you, Frank.
Oh, me. Well, you know what makes me interested in the issue is a simple phenomenon. I guess is the best thing I could use. I noticed that there were groups like B'nai B'rith Canada wandering around, and there were groups like the ADL wandering around, and the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed they were, you know, they promote diversity, multiculturalism, and tolerance for us, you know, for Gentiles. And yet the one thing I've always noticed is that when it came to Israel, a state which does practice apartheid, a state which practices Lebensraum, they took an entirely different stand, completely different stand on the issue. They were supportive of Jewish apartheid in Lebensraum, or a state that practices it, to be more accurate, while they promoted hate crime laws and diversity training for us. So I thought the best way to, you know, expose these wolves in sheep's clothing is to expose Israel. And that's what originally got me interested in studying the issue. Now, I run a blog called Israel Watch.
Yes.
And it's israelwatchproject.blogspot.com for those who want to know.
Right.
Now, what's interesting, though, is that the more I studied the issue, the more I learned about the absolutely Nazi-ish treatment of the Palestinians by the Israelis, I actually started to develop legitimate sympathy for the Palestinians. And I actually developed a bit of a passion for it. Now, some people think, well, hold it, you're supposed to be a white populist. Well, just because I love my own people doesn't mean I can't feel sympathy and care about other people as well.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective. And
sure.
By the way, as you saw tonight, we did bring out the fact that many of the Palestinians and Arabs themselves are indeed Christian people. So, that's important to distinguish that fact. So it's not just, the Israelis besieged by the Arabs, but here they are killing Christians, in effect, simply because they're Christians.
Oh, definitely. And what's actually very interesting about this is that if any Gentile European nation did the things Israel has done,
yes,
there would be bloody murder on the streets of the United States.
No question. They're getting away with what they could not get away with anywhere in the world. All right, we'll be back. And you stay on the line, Frank. We'll take calls. People have been patiently waiting. We'll discuss this issue when we return. I'm Rick Adams. Radio Avenger, right here on RBN.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Now, and we may have lost Frank. I don't know if we still have him on the line. Do we? Frank White? All right, we're having a little bit of trouble with the phone system here. Frank, are you there? All right, I'm going to leave that up to Mike, the producer here, to see if he can get Frank back on the line. But while I have a moment, let me also tell you about tomorrow night's program. The first hour, we will have this individual you may or may not have heard of, but you certainly will tomorrow night. Eileen Fleming is a very close friend of Mordecai Vanunu. Now, that name should ring a bell to you. Mordecai Vanunu was the Israeli technician who blew the whistle on Israel's nukes. And, of course, in the media here in America, he became almost totally persona non grata, totally non-existent, never could care less about the fact that he spent like two decades in jail, solitary confinement. He was kidnapped from Italy by the Mossad. But here is a young man who, an Israeli scientist, who blew the whistle, on Israel out of conscience. And, of course, he was relegated to the garbage heap as a result. Now, Eileen is a friend of his, and she's going to come on the program tomorrow night and try to raise some awareness, particularly amongst Christians, as to what's happened to him. And the reason for that is because he is converted to Christianity. And as a result, he has endured even more hardship, apparently, more suffering, more ostracism, than he ever had been before because he became a Christian. All right, we have Frank back on the line. Frank, yes, Frank, before we take some calls, and I do want to get to the calls pretty quickly, I understand where you're coming from, and I might also add, too, that, see, the term apartheid is a very disingenuous term in my book as well, because you try to relate the South African situation to what happened to the Palestinians, and really there is no comparison. Essentially, South Africa was a white nation from the beginning, where virtually no blacks happened to inhabit the southern part of that particular region of the continent.
Right. Right.
And so it was founded by whites. It wasn't land stolen from indigenous natives, is what my understanding is. But unfortunately, what happened was an uncontrolled immigration policy and miscegenation that led to a huge population, an influx of tribal blacks, Indians, and, of course, the resultant of miscegenation, the colored population. So
right.
What you had there was a very difficult situation that was almost totally, completely out of hand. And the apartheid situation was not so much based on just race as it was on tribal warfare, tribal entities, and the fact that whites were indeed outnumbered in their own land. Now, the solution, of course, was not the Jimmy Carter solution. In my opinion, Jimmy Carter made things 1,000,000% worse, and of course he did so in Rhodesia as well,
right.
Was not to try to create a multinational or multiracial democracy in a country which could not sustain it. And now we've seen what's happened in South Africa, slaughter, internecine warfare, and of course the media have totally ignored it now. But the reality is, at the time, what the whites had wanted to do was to form a state that was a unitary state and a partitioning, if you will, of the nation's different tribes, so that each would have their own homeland, have their own country, have their own bylaws, constitution, whatever, but particularly to preserve white rules over whites. And I think that's why I don't like to even use the term apartheid, because it does not really describe adequately what has happened to the indigenous Palestinians of that region of Palestine. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. And you want to know something? You're absolutely right. I probably never thought of it that way. Now, interestingly enough, there are human rights experts who believe that what happens in Israel is worse.
Oh, far worse.
Than apartheid.
I've interviewed people over the years on local radio from South Africa, from the government. I've interviewed some blacks, in fact, who one in particular who came from South Africa, my local radio program, and he was very angry with what was going on within the black communities, with the wars going on between Zulus, the Pandos, the Xhosas, all of that going on. And he, quite frankly, was more opposed to the, quote, solution handed South Africa than to the apartheid situation, because he knew what would happen as a result. So it is a very, very difficult, not a simplistic concept as the media moguls would have us believe.
Well, you know, it's interesting. John Dugard, again, Professor Dugard, was quoted in the November 29th, 2006 edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, he says, and it's very interesting statement, he says, many aspects of Israel's occupation surpasses those of the apartheid regime. Israel's large-scale destruction of Palestinian homes, leveling of agricultural lands, military incursions, and targeted assassinations of Palestinians far exceed any similar practices in apartheid South Africa. No wall was ever, this is where he really says something very fascinating. No wall was ever built to separate blacks and whites.
No, they had the pass laws and all of that, but they never had this wall around the city. This, as I said, this is the only country in the world that allows this to continue and at the same time receives foreign aid from the United States for doing so.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No, well, the wall, the first thing we need to establish is that the wall is not meant for security purposes.
Right.
It is meant as a form of Lebensraum. The concept of Lebensraum is one of creating living space via military expansion and settlement.
Yes.
Lebensraum is attributed to the purported ethnic cleansing campaigns of the Nazis to remove indigenous populations of conquered lands in order to repopulate said lands with their own people. Now, it's interesting. I'm able to illustrate this, Rick. I'm willing to illustrate Israeli Lebensraum by examining the August 17, 2007 report of Professor, well, you know who, John Dugard again, on the construction of the barrier wall in East Jerusalem. I refer to paragraph 30 of this cited report. The 75-kilometer wall being built in East Jerusalem is now almost complete. This wall, which is built through Palestinian neighborhoods and separates Palestinians from Palestinians, is an exercise in social engineering designed to achieve the Judaization of Jerusalem by reducing the number of Palestinians in the city. It cannot conceivably be justified on security grounds. Now, this is from an international court of this is from the International Court of Justice ad hoc judge and special rapporteur for the United Nations, Professor John Dugard himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even he says this wall is designed to achieve the, I'm trying to pronounce this word right, the Judaization
right.
of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing, by reducing the number of Palestinians in the city.
Well, the thing, is when we heard about all these so-called terrorist attacks in the occupied territories and in Israel proper, that was the excuse for Sharon and, of course, to some degree, even his successor, Mr. Olmert, to build the wall. That was what they needed, quote, as evidence of an indigenous terrorist population to build a wall. Now, when the Nazis did that, and of course I understand they were fighting against the Soviet Union as well, and both parties were fighting each other, and a lot of people got caught in the crossfire. But when they were doing it, it was called, you know, barbarism, genocide, terrorism.
Of course.
It was called all of these things. But here we have Israel doing it as a matter of institutionalized control and subjugation, and it's in violation of all of the laws that came out of World War II, all of the international agreements, and all of the, you know, Geneva Convention accords and so forth, and yet they do it with impunity. That's what angers me.
Well, let's ask the following question.
Yeah.
Why does Israel need a security wall? B'Tselem, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights in the occupied territories, reports that 80% of all casualties from the beginning of the first intifada to the day prior to the Al-Aqsa intifada, for example, 80% of them were Palestinian. 96% of those Palestinian casualties were killed in their own lands.
Mm-hmm.
And the number doesn't change a heck of a lot for the second intifada either. The vast majority, and I'm talking in the high 90s here, percent-wise, of Palestinian casualties were killed in the occupied territories.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need a wall to protect Israel from a people who are dying, being killed by a majority, overwhelming percentage number in their own land?
That's right. No, it's because they have occupied this land as a military conquest.
Right.
And when you do that, then you do it for a reason. And ultimately, the reason is to totally annex Jerusalem, and that's what they've wanted right from the beginning, and
Definitely.
Then to spread their tentacles, I believe, from Jerusalem all the way throughout the Middle East. And, this is a larger, more grand-scale plan, if you will, Eretz Israel, as they call it, right from the beginning, the get-go. You say,
well, you know, it's strange because earlier my opponent mentioned that, you know, Palestinians were killing Israelis as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's actually very interesting if we go back to B'Tselem.
Right.
They report that there's been a steady decline in deaths through suicide bombing attacks against Israelis since 2002. In fact, it's gone down by nearly, it looks to me from the graph here, by about 100%. Now, they do report that 11 Israeli civilians, including 4 children, have died since 2004 from Qassam bottle rockets. 11 people have died. And in contrast, in the last 7 years alone, 2,048 Palestinians whom did not take part in hostilities, and these are people who are not actually involved in combat. They were killed in their own land, the vast majority of them. I believe all but 3, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
were killed in their own lands.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we continually hear in the American media about how Israel's the victim.
Yes.
How Israel's the one who's facing the terrorism.
Well, that goes without saying, doesn't it, huh? All right, I'll tell you what. Hang on if you wish, Frank, and we'll take calls from our listeners who have been very patient for some time. I promise you, you will all be given your chance to come on the program and discuss the issues that we've been discussing right from the beginning. Rick Adams, stay with me.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
And we're back now. 1-800-313-9443 is our number to jump aboard. Let's take a call from Gene in Texas. Hello, Gene. Is this Gene Smith? Are you there? All right. We're trying to connect you. We're trying to patch you in, Gene. I think this is Gene Smith, the Bible Truth Man. Yes, and we have...
I am.
Okay, here's Gene.
Right.
Is that you, Gene? Gene Smith?
Yes.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing?
All right, good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, and hello, Mr. Wright.
Hello, Gene.
What is that, Beth? You're talking about... It's not Beth Shalom, is it? How do you spell that?
Oh, yeah, it's BTSELEM.org.
Say that one more time, please.
BTSELEM.org.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about here. When the state of Israel was created by the United Nations resolution in 1947, that same resolution also said that the Palestinians were to get a homeland immediately. That area was to be partitioned.
Yes.
And the Israelis went in there, of course, and took 50% more than they were relegated by the United Nations through a war.
56%, actually.
Well, all right, 56%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And dispossessed many Palestinians that they have not allowed to return, of course, their families. And so they've been in violation, the Israeli government has been in violation of that original resolution since 1947, or 48, actually, when they became a state.
Right.
And so yet they say all about the Palestinians, you know, denying these resolutions and violating these resolutions, and they have violated the first one that gave them their creation, but they have not allowed the Palestinians to have a country up to now.
Well, the very existence of the Israeli Jewish settlements in the occupied territories are clear violations of United Nations Security Resolutions 446 and 467, as well United Nations General Assembly Resolution 181 actually calls for refugees, Palestinian refugees from the 1948 war, to be allowed to go home on the condition that they live in peace. Now, it's really interesting is that a Jewish dude from Brooklyn who has no connection to the land has more of a right to settle in Israel than that refugee does.
Yep.
Yeah. And their president, Begin, was a terrorist. He was wanted by the British government. He was the leader of the Irgun gang that blew up the King David Hotel. They also killed a British a diplomat. So he becomes the president of Israeli.
Well, you know,
and,
it's funny. Sorry, Jim.
You know, I mean, hello. Again. And also, what about the attack on the USS Liberty? Have you all discussed that?
Didn't even come up.
Well, you know, Gene,
What kind of a friendly nation that takes $4 billion a year from the U.S. government would attack a U.S. Vessel in the Mediterranean and kill 34 of its sailors and wound around over 120.
175.
175. Well, I said over 120.
Yeah.
Well,
well,
really, what I'm saying is a lot of these people are still suffering from their wounds, the one that survived, and this incident is the only incident of an attack on a U.S. Vessel or area that has not been investigated by Congress. The only one, and this is the 40th anniversary, and these people are still trying to get an investigation into this.
And Gene?
So, I mean, hello, a friendly nation does not attack you.
Oh, no, you're right. And now, Gene, here's the thing. The Liberty was attacked on a clear day, on calm seas, and somehow the Israelis mistook it for at the time, a 40-year-old Egyptian horse trawler half the size ready to do a Titanic impression. I don't buy that's an accident.
No. And everybody on board says without a doubt that they had a good size United States flag flying above that ship. And the Israelis saw that. Some of them even said that when they passed over so slow to the ship before they attacked, and the pilots waved to the people on board the Liberty before they attacked them even.
Well,
they knew it was a U.S. vessel. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
and again, they're not our friend, they don't have freedom of religion. You can't take a New Testament or a complete Bible into Israeli territory. It's against their law. You cannot preach Christianity there, and you cannot be a citizen of Israeli if you're a professing Christian. That is not freedom of religion, and as we define that today, they're a democracy, but the Israelis always hold a majority in the Knesset, of course.
Well, Gene, are they really a democracy? Now, when my opponent mentioned that Arabs are allowed to vote, he kind of omitted that one little fact.
Yes.
That any Arab Knesset member that denies or challenges the Jewishness of the state can be legally expelled from the Knesset.
Yeah, there is no constitution.
I didn't say they were a democracy.
There's no Bill of Rights. There's no guarantees of anything.
Well, no,
I didn't say they were a democracy, but they cannot be, of course, because of what you just said. Even.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How can I get? I'd like to send you some literature on the Lost Tribe.
Hang on, Gene. All right, for a minute, we'll take the rest of your call and we'll move on from there. All right, just a quick break, 3 minutes, and we'll be back with our lone guest right now, And we'll do that with Frank White when we continue.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. 52 for details. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, you are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
And we are back. You heard that. I heard him. Yes, thank you very much for that, Mike. All right, we're back now with Frank White, who was with us in the first hour debating on the topics pertaining to the state of Israeli, as Gene Smith, who's on the line, likes to say. Gene, do you want to ask another question of Frank?
Yes, well, not really. Well, yes, a question. I'd like to know how I can send him some information on the Lost Tribes of Israel. Have you ever studied into that?
I actually haven't, but where you can actually reach me, now I'm going to be attaching my email address to my site tomorrow, so
okay.
I would check it then, but you can reach me at israelwatchproject.blogspot.com.
Ooh, a little bit slower.
Yeah, it's israelwatchproject.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm. Israel Watch Project.
Dot blogspot. Yeah.
Dot com.
Now,
right.
My email address should be attached there sometime tomororow evening. So
do you have
a
P.O. box or anything like that?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a P.O. box?
Oh, yeah. I'll give that to you by email.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to send you some information on the Lost Tribes of Israel, and I think you'll find that very interesting.
Okay,
excellent.
Thank you, Gene.
Uh-huh. Looking forward to having you back on again. All right. Thank you, Gene Smith. Let's take another call. You ready?
I'm ready, Rick.
Are you ready there? You are? All right. Frank is always ready. All right. We have Jim
really like
in Texas next. Hello there, Big Jim.
Jim.
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
And hello to your guest.
Well, what did you think now? You heard the debate in the first hour. What were your impressions?
My impression is that I'm not at all surprised that your other guest couldn't stay for the second hour because I understand he had a conference call with Abraham Foxman.
Oh, no.
And,
I don't think so. It was his wife telling him he had to go.
Sure it was.
Well,
Abe, how did I do? Did I sound pretty good, Abe? This is the way the system works.
You think so, huh?
Well, there are
people who honestly, sincerely have these viewpoints, and they're entitled to them. They can believe whatever they want to believe, and that's what makes the show interesting. But I think that Frank did come out pretty far ahead of Andrew, because Andrew sort of boxed himself into a circuitous route here, and primarily got into a lot of anecdotal stories rather than getting into the hard statistics. And I think he agreed, by the way, with you, Frank, more than disagreed, ironically.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was a little surprised at that, but I knew for a fact he did not agree with the genocide angle and the apartheid angle. But mm-hmm. the genocide angle to me is so clear, and it actually is a typical tactic for the supporters
right.
of Israel
right.
to say, well, your source is biased.
Right.
Now, it's interesting.
They do that, sure, all the time.
Sure, because Defense of Children International, they do have offices across the world, and they are an NGO, human rights group.
And you have Doctors Without Borders as well,
yeah.
and they have also registered their views on the situation of human rights violations in Palestine, a number of others, the Red Cross, too, and people can find fault with all of these groups, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is, when you see a pattern develop, and as I pointed out, the Israeli government for the longest time would not even allow outside observers, including the Red Cross, to come in and see exactly what has been done.
Oh, it's absolutely and tragic. I mean, even during the first intifada, the Al-Aqsa intifada, across two decades, it's funny, across two decades of fighting, or it's tragic, Palestinians who did not take part in hostilities, those people alone died at about twice the rate that all Israeli casualties have died, both military and civilian. And civilian does not necessarily imply innocence either, because a civilian can take up arms.
Sure. Hey, Jim, we didn't leave you out of this. Go ahead.
Yeah,
continue,
come on in, Jim.
Please.
Well, the thing is that he didn't seem to want to discuss Rachel Corrie or the British journalists that had their eyeballs blasted out by him. He
mm-hmm.
didn't seem to want to discuss that too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he made what I consider a completely asinine statement that more foreigners have been killed by the Palestinians than by the Israelis. I'm not aware of any of them except perhaps accidentally when an Israeli helicopter blasted a Palestinian apartment house and there was a foreigner in there. I'm not aware of any foreigners that were killed deliberately by the Palestinians.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim, what's kind of funny is he quoted a source which actually stated that 81% of all casualties during the Second Intifada were Palestinian. He quotes the one statistic that makes Israel look good.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised that he quoted, 81%. Actually, it's probably far worse than that because we all know how they report casualties.
Yeah, I mean, even B'Tselem, they can only go by the numbers they come by.
Yeah, that's like believing the New York Times.
I think I raised a very valid point here, and that is that when these statistics are gathered about how violent the Palestinians are, quote-unquote, you know, they're compiled usually by the Israeli government, and then the American media pick them up, you know?
That's right.
Or they're compiled by the American media, which is the same as the Israeli
Which is the
government.
Same, yeah, I understand.
So
absolutely.
It's 6 to 1, half dozen to the other, if you depend on what they say.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
So we don't know. I mean, for instance, somebody could be, let's say an American could be traveling in Jerusalem or might be traveling somewhere there as a visitor, and all of a sudden a bomb goes off and some, quote, Palestinian group is blamed or takes responsibility. Now, how do we know that for sure? Just like in Iraq today with all of the sniper attacks and the IEDs and so forth. You see?
Well, Rick, the way they do it, the way they do it is, if there can be an American traveling there in a car, and he's behind a Palestinian car that the Israelis riddle with bullets, and some of them go through the first car and get the second one, they'll say the Palestinians did it.
Yeah.
That's how they operate.
I guess you may have a point there, and it ain't just at the tip of the bullet.
I know what they do. I read it all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right,
you'll
Jim.
Never find
hey.
In the mainstream press, of course, but I'll let you go, Rick. You
well, that's good. Thank
caller.
You for your call. Appreciate the time mm-hmm. that you got in. All right, let's take another call here from Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Yes,
hi,
Joe.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good. I can just about hear you, though.
You having trouble hearing Frank? We'll try to raise the volume.
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing him, too.
Okay. Let's see what we can do about that technically now. All right, gentlemen, proceed.
Okay, Joe, go on.
Okay, Frank. Do the Israeli Jews consider themselves to be either of the tribe of Judah or the house of Judah, or do they refer to themselves as members of the other 11 tribes of Israel, i.e. the tribe of Zebulun, Naphtali, Dan? Do they claim to be Judahites? Or do they claim to be Israelites?
I wouldn't know. I have no idea about the religious complexities. What I do know is that we see a living example of Jewish supremacism and international Zionism taking place in Israel, and especially the occupied territories, and it's one of Lebensraum, genocide, and apartheid, and that is the fruits of international Zionism.
Okay. Is the point I was going to try to make.
Sure.
The Queen of England, when she, or he through the past years, dubs a new king or queen.
Right.
The words that are used to give the duties to that individual are twofold. The first, they dubbed them defender of the faith, the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the second duty is, they dubbed them King or Queen of Israel. And Andrea Seal, the Queen of England Seal, to this day, there is a lion and a unicorn. The lion is always symbolic of the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as English history is concerned. And this would be the king or queen of Israel. So, do you see where I'm going with this?
I think I have the basic idea. You are very good at this stuff. I'm certainly not nearly as well versed in this as you are, Joe.
Okay, but I just want to give you an idea that the Queen of England,
yes, sir,
is the mothership, if you will, of the tribes of Israel.
Okay.
The lost tribes of Israel that the previous caller was talking about.
Right.
Anybody that studies in depth in this field can see the footprints and the fingerprints in all these countries, the House of Israel and the House of Judah. And that's why I asked the question, if the people that inhabited Jerusalem and the Israeli country, the country of Israel. It's interesting that people that claim to be Jewish call themselves Israel.
Right.
Yet they're two separate houses.
Okay.
So it kind of, to me, it seems like it covers both bases. We know that Jesus always talked about the false Messiah returning to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Before the true Messiah returns.
Right.
So I would watch very closely for the false Messiah. And being in that geographical area, before he returns.
Yeah.
So we know that the good and the bad figs, and he always said to know the parable of the fig tree, the good and the bad figs would be planted in Jerusalem in 1948, according to the prophecies of Daniel and Jeremiah, the 70 weeks of each one. That comes out to 1948. Many scholars in this country and in Europe knew that the good and the bad figs would be planted in Jerusalem, but they didn't know who they were. Now, here's the crux of the matter. The bad figs, everyone's trying to figure out who the bad figs are, even today in scholarly circles. And the Palestinians always come to the lips of many Christians that I hear, yet Palestine has nothing to do with figs. Palestinians are of Arab descent. That's got nothing to do with figs, according to the scriptures.
Yeah, they're the truth.
Figs can only be of the fig tree, the figs that are in Jerusalem.
The bad figs.
There's good and bad fig trees in Jerusalem, Capri fig and Smyrna fig. So the Palestinians have nothing to do with being the bad figs. There's no way. And that's why I believe that the bad figs, the true bad figs, which I call the Kenites, the sons of Cain from Genesis, from the beginning, the true bad figs want the Palestinians there. They don't want them wiped out and moved out of that area so that the Christians can be deceived by it.
Mm.
Are you following my drift?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, John.
Yeah.
Christians will believe the Palestinians are the evil ones and the Israelis are wonderful.
That's it. Whereas you have the good and bad figs, that would be Judah. And those that call themselves Judah, but actually are the synagogue of Satan.
Right.
You've got the good and the bad figs. So there's actually a third party there that's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows who they are.
Mm-hmm. Except you. And a few others.
Yeah.
Frig, do you get the drift?
Yeah. Yeah, we get the drift.
Well, when you get John Hagee on here or one of his people, I suggest
get
Joe.
Yeah, it's like pulling teeth to get Hagee to come on.
Yeah,
we'll work on him. All right, Joe, we get the drift very well, and I think you made the point very succinctly.
Yes, and
thanks, Rick Frank.
Yes, and thanks for sharing the information, Joe. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joe. All right, let's take George in Illinois now. George is next. Hi, George.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Frank.
Yes.
Hey.
I appreciate the debate. It was outstanding.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a couple of points. One of the interesting questions for me, which Andrew had a lot of problem with, he was challenging it, is the idea that Palestinian children are not, in fact, targeted. And he wanted an objective, independent source. Well, I've got plenty. One I've been looking at is an interesting one. It's in this AmnestyInternational.org.
Yep.
And they did a report in September 30th, 2007. They put out a new version of that report.
Yep.
It's called Israel and Occupied Territories and Palestinian Territories, Killing the Future, Children in the Line of Fire. And what it is a timeline of
I've heard of that report. Yeah, go ahead.
Targeted murders of Palestinian children by the IDF. It's like rapid fire. Every death, it just documents everything, how nefarious and how systematic and how continuous from the beginning of the Intifada till now. So
why don't you do this?
Andrew is listening. I hope he takes a look at that.
Well, I want you to. Do you have access to the internet?
Sure.
Why don't you send that to me so I can send it to him?
Absolutely. I mean, that's
all right. Stay on the line before you leave. Stay on the line before you leave, George, and give my producer a chance to give you an email address that you can send it to, okay?
Brilliant call, George.
Pardon me?
Brilliant call. Thank you. I absolutely forgot about that report.
Oh, yeah.
I had known about it, but I just couldn't put my fingers on it because I've got thousands of pages here.
There's some comprehensive information, which I like also, which is good supporting information from Allison Weir in ifamericansnew.org. One of the charts is a very interesting one. It's talking about Israeli and Palestinian children killed since September 29, 2000, which is the beginning of the Intifada again. Israeli children killed during that period, 119. Palestinian children, 971. So that's a proportion of 8.2 to 1. So that's a clear indication of what is happening on the ground.
Oh, certainly.
It's interesting.
And the vast majority of them, George, mm-hmm. where are they dying? Not in Israel, in their own territories.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
In their own lands. And that's really what kills the illusion that Israel is somehow an innocent victim. They are the occupiers. They are the aggressors.
Right.
They are
exactly.
in those lands killing those kids.
And one of the core issues, and I know you probably have other callers, but I just wanted to, if you get a chance to debate next time, please bring the Talmud and protocols into it, because it's really a blueprint of
well,
the sacred.
Well, I touched on the Talmud, and he sort of didn't particularly
And you know,
like
you know, Rick and Frank, I've had a lot of trouble getting the Talmud. I got it. I have it, the pre-1875 version before it was redacted.
Well, you know what, look up
however, it is very challenging. Go to any bookstore, and they'll have plenty of commentaries. You'll never find it. And if you go to an Israeli bookstore, they'll want to know if you're Israeli before they sell to you.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
That's how it works.
Well, there are different versions of the Talmud, too, and that's part of the problem.
Correct.
As you point out. Very true.
All righty. I'll let you go.
George, you are a great call. Thank you very much
call.
For
You're
calling
very
the
welcome.
Show.
Good luck with the work, guys. Thanks.
All right. Hey, hang on. One more segment to go, and we'll be back, Frank.
Yes, sir.
With Henry in Connecticut, I believe, is next. So stay with us. 3 minutes, we'll return. Support the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Yes, indeed. And we're back. And Frank White has obviously stayed with us the last half hour and the last hour in addition to the first hour. And, Frank, we want to see if we can squeeze in one more call, okay?
Great.
Let's do that. And that is Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry. You're on the air with Frank White.
Yeah, hello, hi. A couple of things. A gentleman that called from Rhode Island, he asked about the Jews in the SLC, do they consider themselves Israelites?
Uh-huh.
From what I know when I talked to Jack Otto, no. No, it's a Jewish state. That's what they say. The other thing is this. You also, somebody out there mentioned Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
When I spoke to Jack Otto about that, there is like a section, I think, outside of the Palace of Windsor that supposedly traces their, they illustrate their family tree, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Anyway, to cut it very short, they claim they go back to the House of David. They're saying that they're Jewish. And
yes.
Also that...
Not Jewish, but Israelitish.
Right.
Per se.
Yeah, but Jack Otto says that they're not really British. They killed the British royalty. They're really related to Rothschild. And that Queen Elizabeth's father or grandfather, uncle, has a strange name, Finkenstein or Finkelstein or something like that.
Well, Jack Hanover Otto is the name that I associate with them. And you'll find the scepter in the house there. And not the House of Windsor, but I believe in the Tower of London.
Oh, scepter. Isn't that like that horn type thing that the Jews
used? Yes, and it was by the tribe of Judah that led with the scepter into battle.
Yeah, but that's a Jewish thing also.
Well, it's not Jewish per se. You see, you have to be careful of your terms. Who is a Jew and what is a Jew? The word Jew really is not in the scriptures. It's Judean and Judah, but not Jew per se. That has been a bastardized term. And that's what Gene Smith was saying earlier and what Joe was trying to say. Who are the true Israelites and who are not, see? So you got to sort of see the difference.
Well, anyway, they're Khazars.
That would be a more accurate term
for those
who say they are Jews in Jerusalem.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And the Dutch never had a royalty at all. Also, they claim the Germans aren't into royalty at all. That's why they say that's a failure over there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dutch never had a royalty either. There was a Rothschild offspring. That got so rich and powerful in 1870, 1860, something.
That's right.
And they just took over, right.
Exactly.
They took over, right. Now, the other thing is somebody else mentioned something. I'll say this and I'll go. They mentioned the thing with the Israel, you know, that SLC, the Lebensborn saying that's equated to, you know, with Hitler. First one, I want to say this, though. I do know this for a fact. There were portions of, which they never taught us in high school, but there were portions of Czechoslovakia and Poland that actually really did belong to Germany.
Of course.
From looking at a map from 1900 and on. And Hitler didn't wipe out the Czechs to repopulate Germans in those lands. There were Czechs already, even German Czechs, speaking Czechs even there in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
They weren't wiped out. As a matter of fact, some of them, even the Polish, they collaborated with the National Socialist Party.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
it's
but
a very
the pressure
complicated
is a part
issue.
Of Germany.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's
very
right.
complicated. But thank you so much
okay.
for your input
you
tonight, Henry. Good hearing from you again. And, Frank, as you can hear, we're out of time, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, Rick.
Yes, it's been a pleasure, and we'll invite you both on again.
Thank you. We'll invite
you and the professor and anyone else who wishes to debate.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Frank.
All righty.
Good night now. And
good
ladies
night,
and gentlemen, tomorrow night we will have Eileen Fleming on with a direct friendship to Mordecai Vanunu in Israel. He's a Christian now and he's paying the price. All right. Tomorrow night, first hour, and much to talk about in the second hour as well. Bob Chapman on Wednesday night. Good night, everyone.